إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. So those words, those Arabic words that you just heard, were those words with which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would begin his sermon to the people with, and his addresses to the people with, words and a sermon full of guidance, full of instruction to that which leads to success and salvation in this life and in the next life. And from the way and sunnah of Allah is that he would send prophets and messengers from the very beginning of when he placed man upon this earth. From the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, he sent prophets and messengers with guidance. Prophets and messengers with guidance for the people to follow. قُلْ نَحْبِطُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that he told Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, Adam and Eve, and the shaytan, Iblis, to go down upon the earth together, all of them. The expulsion from Jannah, yani that they now go down upon the earth, jami'a, all of them. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. If there comes to you guidance from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ, so whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there's no khawf upon them, no fear upon them, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor shall they grieve. And so from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he sent prophets and messengers with guidance, with instruction, with light, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guidance and light that takes them out from the darkness of this life, and those dulamat and those darknesses that shaytan calls them to, light that takes them out from that darkness. Guidance and instruction that teaches them the purpose of their creation. Why they're here. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, why he placed man upon this earth. Guidance for all of them. Prophets and messengers that came to their people, all of them, telling their people that they've been created for a purpose. And that purpose is clearly laid out in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in general terms and in specific terms. He tells us in general terms the call of all of the prophets and the messengers. And he tells us likewise specifically or in specific terms, yani each prophet and messenger, what he said to his people. So in general terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَلَقَدَ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبَدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent to every nation Rasulah, a messenger. أن يعبد الله, worship Allah, واجتنب الطاغوت, and stay away from the false gods. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. We did not send a messenger before you, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إلا نوحي إليه, except that we revealed to him أنه لا إله إلا أنا, that none has the right to be worshipped except for me, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فاعبدون, so worship me. And so Allah tells us the call of all of the prophets and the messengers in general. And then likewise he tells us in the Quran, when one goes back to the Quran and reads about the prophets and the messengers, how they address their people and with what they address their people يعني with, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, they would say, addressing their people, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, my people worship Allah, مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ, you have no God except for him. يعني لا إله إلا الله, the call of all of the prophets and the messengers. وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه, we did not send a messenger before you except that we revealed to him, لا إله إلا أنا, none has the right to be worshipped except for me. And likewise, ما لكم من إله غيره, you have no God worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the call of all of the prophets and the messengers. Islam, the religion of all of the prophets and the messengers, all of them. Indeed, they came calling them to Tawheed and to the worship of Allah and to stay away from all of those false gods. Now, and this no doubt was the fundamental message of all of the prophets and the messengers. That call that they began with, that Sharia and that legislation that they came with, the asal of all of that and the fundamental message of all of the Sharia that they came with was this message to At-Tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned very clearly in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn or mankind except to worship me alone. And that is why we find all of the prophets calling to this worship. They explain to their people very clearly the purpose of this life, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that is why we find in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning clearly and repeating over and over again that call of all of the prophets and the messengers. Now, and we find likewise the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning to his sahaba and teaching his companions this clear right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. That if we've been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then no doubt this is the greatest right of Allah upon us. And so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Mu'adh, he said, O Mu'adh, tadri haqqullahi ala al-ibad, do you know the right of Allah upon his servants, haqqul ibad ala Allah, and the right of the servants upon Allah? قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ, I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. فقال, so the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِنَّ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ, indeed, the right of Allah, the Most High, upon His servants, أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that they worship Allah alone, and that they make no partners with Him, and they take nothing as a partner besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and the right of the servants upon Allah, أَلَّا يُعَذِّبْ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that He will not punish, Allah will not punish the one who does not associate anything as a partner to Him. مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهِ لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة. As the messenger of Allah said in another hadith, whoever meets Allah, comes to Allah, he comes to Allah free from shirk, didn't associate anything as a partner with him, دخل الجنة. He will enter Jannah. He will enter paradise. As long as he dies upon that paradise, he will enter. ومن لقيه, and whoever meets him, يشرك به شيئا دخل النار. And whoever meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meets him with shirk, meets him whilst associating partners and making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his worship, دخل النار. He will enter the hellfire. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرِكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. It's clear in the Quran. Clear. Allah does not forgive a shirk. The person dies upon shirk without repenting from that shirk. دَخَلَ النَّارِ. He will enter the fire. Allah has forbidden Jannah upon him. And so this, no doubt, أيها الإخوة, is the right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest right upon the servants. This tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the call of all the prophets and the messengers, all of them, and even the Jews and the Christians, and those nations before us, they have clearly in their books, to this day, they have tawheed. And that which indicates that the prophets and the messengers, all of them call to tawheed. Even though they distorted, and even though they changed, still within their Bible you find the call of tawheed there, that first commandment, that they worship one God, they worship God alone. But then they say that Allah is one of three. This was not the call of Isa ibn Maryam, of Jesus, the son of Mary. And that for the people to be saved, they must believe in this Trinity and believe that Allah is made up of three. None of the prophets and the messengers, none of them, not a single one of them spoke of Allah having a son. All of those prophets and messengers before, none of them, not a single one of them said that in order for you to be saved, you must believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not a single one of them, no mention of that. But rather in the Bible, you find clearly the call to tawheed. Even though they are blind to this, and they come with that which contradicts this call to tawheed in the Bible. And that which they have inserted and brought to, that which they have lied upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and lied upon the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Now, and so التوحيد, أيها الإخوة, this توحيد is the أصيل. That is the أصيل and the origin in this world, or within this creation. التوحيد, that's the origin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us upon that fitrah, that natural disposition for us to accept this tawheed and affirm this tawheed and believe in this tawheed. That is the asil. But ash-shirk, ayyul ikhwa, is the dakhil. Ash-shirk is the dakhil, that thing which entered upon mankind. Something foreign. Something which was invented and brought in. But tawheed, that was the origin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent Adam alayhi salam upon this earth, His offspring, His children, all of them, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Those first 10 generations, up until the qawm of Nuh alayhi salam, and the people of Nuh, they began to worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they entered into the ranks of mankind, that shirk, and that which opposes that origin, and that which opposes the purpose of creation. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions how between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam there were 10 generations. كلهم على شريعة من الحق. All of them were upon the sharia of haq, of truth. The legislation and the religion of truth. Tawheed, to worship Allah alone. They didn't take partners with Allah. They didn't believe in no son. They didn't believe in Allah having partners. All of them upon the haq. But then, when they began to go to extreme with the righteous men, when they began to reside by those places where they were buried, and the graves of these men, these righteous men. And when Shaitan came to them and whispered to them that they take idols in order for them to remember them, and then with the passing of generations they began to worship them, their children began to worship them. And so this shirk, ayyul ikhwa, is dakhil. This shirk is foreign. Now, even if we were to look to just the closest nation to us, the Christians, we find that shirk entered upon them soon after their Prophet left them, not long until shirk entered into their ranks. And they began to go to extreme with the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Isa ibn Maryam, and with their righteous men, their priests, and their fathers. They went to extreme. Now, and similarly with this ummah, how after the Messenger of Allah passed away, then they crept into this ummah likewise as shirk. People going to extreme with the awliya, going to extreme with the salihin, the righteous men, and those who are the allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we believe in allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in them. But to direct worship to them, that's a different matter. And that now, a person, he now enters into that dakhil. He enters into that which is foreign, that which was not known by any of the prophets and the messengers, that which none of them called to, rather they all warned from. And so likewise in this ummah, there came that dakhil of a shirk. And so the people began to worship the righteous men. They began to go to extreme with them. They began to make dua to them. They began to make sujood and ruku'. And likewise they began to sacrifice to them. A shirk, that major sin that we just mentioned, that sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not forgive. How it crept into this ummah, how it didn't take long after we read clearly in the Quran, and this book being the best of books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. We find in the Bible, that which they have in their Bible, and that which does not match that which is within this Quran. How even when they say, as they say, that Isa ibn Maryam, and as our scholars from this ummah have affirmed also, that Jesus, when he came, he said to them, there are many things that I want to say unto you, but you can't understand them, and you're not ready. You're not ready. But we find that when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and how Isa ibn Maryam, he said, that, but when the Prophet after me, when he comes, clearly to this day in the Bible, that I will send to you a paraclete, and that which, in their language, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions in his book Hidayat al-Hayara fi Ajwab al-Yuhudi wa al-Nasara, how Isa ibn Maryam, how he talked about this faraqlit, this paraclete, that which roughly translates as one, an advocator, one who pleads the cause of another, how he called to this message and this message of Tawheed, and how he would come and teach them all things. He will teach them all things. And so we find in this Quran, all things, clarity concerning the purpose of creation. Go to the Bible, where do you find clarity when it comes to the purpose of creation? Why have I been created? Why are we here? Can you bring a verse, can a Christian bring a verse with such clarity concerning his purpose of creation? In the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Clarity, I did not create the jinn. No mankind except to worship me alone. Clarity. Descriptions in detail about the final hour. Descriptions in detail concerning Jannah, concerning the Naar. Yani that which we have in the Quran, the best of books, that which the previous nations never had. Naam. And so, no doubt, ayyul ikhwa, that the prophets and the messengers, all of them were set with this guidance, and this light, and this instruction to a tawheed. Guidance which if they were to follow would lead them to that Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions concerning the prophets, all of them, وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. And for all of you, meaning all of the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ. And for every one of you, meaning the prophets, we made for them shir'atan, يعني sharia. Sharia, a legislation to be followed. And that legislation, no doubt, that the asal of it, as we mentioned, is a tawheed, the aqeedah, and to rectify the aqeedah. After shirk crept in, the prophets and the messengers, they came to rectify that aqeedah, that belief. That was the call of all the prophets and the messengers. The first thing they began with. They didn't begin with correcting the subsidiary matters, the secondary matters. How to pray correctly. And they left alone the affair of shirk. Or how to give in charity. How to perform these actions of worship. How to be good to one's neighbor and so on. How to be good to one's parents. Naam, they called to that. The prophets and the messengers that came with guiding the people to that which leads them to Jannah. But no doubt the first thing and the fundamental matter that they called to was that tawheed. Because all of those actions, all of those righteous actions don't benefit a person in any way so long as he commits that shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and so salvation lies in following the prophets and the messengers. Any time, any nation that the prophets came to, there was no salvation for any of the people in any of those nations except by following that prophet. And except by submitting to that tawheed that they've been created for, to worship Allah alone, to stay away from that shirk, and to follow the way and the guidance of that prophet, the sunnah and the minhaj of that prophet. The minhaj, the sunnah and the sabil of that prophet. No doubt. Every sunnah had a prophet and a way. They came to teach their people that tawheed, and they showed the people how to act upon that tawheed and how to perform those actions that would bring them closer to that Jannah. Establish that tawheed, and with that tawheed, you will enter Jannah. And carry out those actions that will raise your level in Jannah. Indeed, if you die upon that tawheed, you will enter Jannah. But Jannah, paradise is all levels. And they showed them, those are the righteous actions that will cause their level to be raised in Jannah. Now, and they warned them from a shirk. No doubt. They warned them from shirk, and they warned them from all of those other actions that bring about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cause them to enter the hellfire. Now, and so this salvation for this ummah, your ikhwah, lies in following that message that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And he came with that same religion as his brothers before him from the prophets and the messengers, the call to tawheed. And likewise, in following the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that in essence, ayyul ikhwa, is the testimony of the Muslim. Those two testifications that the Muslim, he makes. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When you make this statement, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped in truth except for Allah. Wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Two testifications. If a person, he wants salvation is in those two statements. You worship Allah alone. The meaning of the shahada that you make is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You don't take anything as a partner with Him. You don't worship the righteous men. You don't worship those men who have died and who are in the graves. And even though they may have been righteous, the prophets and the messengers were the most righteous of people. We don't worship them. We don't worship them. And we criticize the Christians for worshipping Isa ibn Maryam. But then we have those from this ummah who worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who make dua to him. Those who they claim may celebrate his birthday. We find, although that is an innovation, there is which takes place within this celebration which is of much greater sin. That shirk they commit. I believe in that he is present, that he comes and he answers their dua. This is the greatest sin that this ummah, many from this ummah, they fell into, even with all the clarity that we have in the Quran, in the Sunnah, concerning this tawheed and concerning this shirk. That still there were those who fell into this shirk. And no doubt, as we said, the origin with mankind was tawheed. Now, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions concerning people, the people of this earth. وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. What were the people except أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً? Except one nation. فَاحْتَلَفُوا. But then they differed. They differed. What did they differ in? The tawheed of Allah. Those first 10 generations were upon tawheed. And they worshipped Allah alone. But then they differed. What did they differ in? The tawheed of Allah. They differed. And so they crept in that shirk. Na'am. And that is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. They will not cease to differ. They will not cease to differ. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. Except for the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your Lord has mercy upon. And the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told as His Lord told. When He said, concerning this ummah, ستفترق هذه الأمة, that this ummah will split. After mentioning افترقت اليهود, that the Jews, they split. على إحدى وسبعين فرقة. They split into 71 sects. All of them in the fire. All of them in the fire except for one. That being Musa عليه السلام and his followers. His companions and his followers, his true followers. وَافْتَرَقَتُ النَّصَارَى. And likewise the Christians, they split into 72 sects. All of them in the fire except for one. Those being Jesus, the son of Mary, and his true followers upon Tawheed. Those who never worshipped him. Those who worshipped Allah alone. وَسَتَفْتَرِقْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And this ummah will likewise split. A reality, we find some Muslims, يعني, in dreamland. Whenever you tell them this, brother, يعني, we need to practice Islam in the correct manner. In the correct manner, because we find there are many groups and sects calling to their version of Islam. But then you find those who will say, brother, you can't say this. Yani, the ummah is one. We're all practicing Islam. You shouldn't say that the ummah is split. But rather here we have a clear prophecy from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this ummah will split into more sects than the Jews and Christians, whether we like it or not. Kullaha fi an-nar. Likewise, all of them in the fire except for one. All of them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent the prophets and the messengers to be followed. They're the ones who came with the guidance. Not for men to change that guidance and to call to other than their guidance. Not for men to do that. Not for imams. Not for righteous men to do that. And many of the righteous men from this ummah and those who are worshipped, the awliya and the salih, He never called to that. But rather it was the people who went to extreme with them. Now, وَسَتَفْتَرِكْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. This ummah will split
على 73 فرقة. These are almost split into 73 sects. All of them in the fire likewise, except for one. And when asked, which one is that same sect? The Messenger of Allah, he replied by saying, ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. It is those who are upon what me and my companions are upon this day. Those who follow Islam, those who follow the Quran and the Sunnah, with that which the Sahaba were upon, that which the Sahaba understood from the Quran and Sunnah. Naam. That is the way of salvation, ayyul ikhwah. No doubt. And as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, likewise, concerning this safe sect, he said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. He said, they will not cease to be a group from this ummah, from my ummah, those who are manifest upon the truth and aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who forsake them and abandon them. They will not be harmed. They will stick to that guidance that comes to them and that came to them. And there's no khawf upon them. وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They're upon the truth. They stick to that guidance. نعم. And they are those who follow the Kitab and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Sahaba and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. The Messenger of Allah, he said likewise in the Hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. He said, the best of people is my generation. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then those who come after them. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then those who come after them. The first three generations. The first generation of the Sahaba. The companions of the Messenger of Allah. But whom the Messenger of Allah said, that the safe sect are those who follow their way. Then those who come after them, the second generation, the Tabi'een. Then the third generation, the Atba' al-Tabi'een. They are that safe sect. And the question that has come in the title and the theme of this, this occasion here and these lectures is how, or what is, what does it mean to be a Muslim? And how can a person practice Islam properly? To be a Muslim, it means to uphold those two certifications, ayyul ikhwah. To be a Muslim properly and to practice Islam properly, it means to uphold those two certifications. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. To worship Allah alone and to stay away from a shirk. And to follow the sunnah and the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the understanding, all of that, with the understanding of the Sahaba and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. To follow the Quran, to follow the Sunnah, with the Fahm of the Salaf of this Ummah. No doubt. This, ayyul ikhwah, this is what it means to be a Muslim. Islam, as the scholars, they mention, is al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. To submit to Allah with tawheed. Many of those people and those groups that claim that the truth is with them, that we follow the Quran and Sunnah, you're not going to find from these groups and these sects within this ummah, you're not going to find any of them that say, we don't follow the Quran and Sunnah, or that the correct understanding is not with us. Every single group and sect is going to claim this. They're going to claim that they are the safe sect, that they follow the Quran and Sunnah. But the key in all of this is, as we mentioned, from all of those evidences there, many, many more, from the Quran likewise, that success and salvation and the true form of Islam lies in following the Quran and Sunnah with the understanding of the Sahaba. Those evidences that we mentioned, likewise the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن السابقون. Those who were the first and foremost in accepting Islam. السابقون الأولون. Those who are first and foremost in accepting Islam. يعني the muhajirin. من المهاجرين and the Ansar. From the muhajirin, from those who migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the Ansar, those who were present in Medina and helped the migrants from Mecca. None other than the companions, all of them companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ And those who follow them in Ihsan, in their religion. Those who follow the Sahaba and the Ansar and the Muhajirin in their guidance and in their religion, in their practicing and their understanding of Islam. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Him. A text in the Quran. A text that will not be changed up until يوم يعني will not be changed. The Quran that is with us until يوم القيامة. Affirming the practice, the understanding and the practicing of the Sahaba of this religion. That Allah is pleased with that. For anybody else, in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, then you must be or you must adhere to the Quran and Sunnah with the understanding of the Sahaba. Na'am. And likewise, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا That if they believe, those who come after you, those who come after the Sahaba, if they believe as you have believed, فَقَدْ اِحْتَدَوْا Then they are indeed guided. They are indeed guided. Those who follow the way of the Sahaba. The affair of these groups and sects, أيها المسلم, is a grave affair and a serious affair. Indeed, if a person takes it slightly, but I'm just Muslim, I just want to practice Islam. You're not concerned about what form of Islam you're practicing. For indeed, the Messenger of Allah, he said, Yawm al-Qiyamah, in that hadith that is in the Sahihain, in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, he mentioned how he will come to the Hawd, to that river, given to the Messenger of Allah. Whoever comes to it and drinks from it will never be thirsty again. And then there will be people who will come. People who will come close or approach this hole and this river. But they will be prevented. Prevented from coming any closer to that hole. And then the Messenger of Allah will say, إِنَّهُمْ مِنِّي Indeed, they are from me. He will recognize them as being from his ummah. And he will nourish ummati, my nation. To which it will be said to him, and it's mentioned in some narration that Jibreel alayhi salam will prevent them. The angel will prevent them. And he will say to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي Indeed, you do not know. مَا بَدَّلُوا بَعْدَكَ You don't know what they changed after you. You don't know what they invented into Islam. You don't know what they invented into your religion after you. What they changed and what they made of your religion. Claiming to be Muslim, claiming to follow your religion, claiming to be Sunni, claiming to be upon the Sunnah, but far from the Sunnah because they changed. And so the Messenger of Allah will say on that day, and he will say after saying and pleading and saying they are from me, from my nation, he will say, Suhkan, suhkan. لمن بدل بعدي نعم the messenger of Allah was sent رحمة للعالمين sent as a mercy to mankind no doubt this is something that the people they say brother don't be harsh against these groups don't be harsh indeed the messenger of Allah was merciful and he was sent as a mercy to mankind yes sent as a mercy came with the guidance sent with guidance that brings them out from the darkness into the light however When it came to the religion of Allah, when it came to those changing the religion of Allah, then the Messenger of Allah was stern and he was firm. And he didn't accept change. He didn't accept change to the Risala, to the message. Now, so look at the response of the Messenger of Allah. When he is informed that these people, they changed his message. سُحْقًا سُحْقًا لِمَنْ بَدَّلَ بَعْدِي Far removed from me, take them away from me, those who changed things after me. The groups of innovation, these 72 sects who followed other than the guidance of Muhammad, whether that is them going to negligence and neglecting the sunnah, neglecting the guidance of the Messenger of Allah, or whether they went to the other extreme of going beyond bounds and going to ghulu, an extreme, that which we see today from the groups and the sects, either them going to the extreme of negligence, the extreme of negligence, and not following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, not giving him the rights that he deserves. Now, and likewise, those who have gone to extreme, whether that is going to extreme with as it relates to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping others besides him, worshipping the prophets and the messengers, worshipping the angels, worshipping the righteous men, or whether that is them going to extreme in those actions that we see are far from Islam, that we see yani those actions that have become a common occurrence these days, almost every day, those actions that are performed in the name of Islam, killing innocent people, actions of barbarianism, these terrorists who do things in the name of Islam, in the name of the religion of Islam, in the name of the Quran and the Sunnah, far from Islam and the Sunnah. We don't find the Sahaba, we don't find the Messenger of Allah and the Sahaba killing innocent people. They were oppressed, they were fought, they were oppressed in their times due to their Islam. And they could have resorted to killing innocent people. Now, maybe it wasn't possible for them to use that which we see the people using today, by way of explosives, bombs and so on. But they were still able to kill innocent people the way that was available to them. Whether that was with a sword, or with whatever other way that was possible, it was still possible for them to do that, to kill innocent people, to kill those who fought against Islam and oppressed them. But yet we find that the Messenger of Allah, he forbade them. He forbade them from that. And we find that even those who fought with the companions of the Messenger of Allah, that man who fought bravely with the Sahaba and for the Muslims, when he killed many of the mushrikeen, and the Sahaba, they began to praise him, and they said that we have not seen someone, and we have not seen a man from amongst us who has fought so bravely as him, or as bravely as him. And so the Sahaba, they went and they informed the Messenger of Allah, or that reached the Messenger of Allah, to which he replied, "Huwa finnar," he's in the hellfire. Yani due to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Messenger of Allah, "Huwa finnar," he's in the hellfire. And so the Sahaba, they became amazed. How is it possible? He's performing actions of the Muslims. He's making jihad. He's making jihad and he's killing the mushrikeen. There's no one who has killed as many of the mushrikeen as him. But they were amazed by the Messenger of Allah saying, "Huwa finnar," he's in the hellfire. And some narrations mention that they began to doubt the Messenger of Allah. And so one from amongst them, he followed him the next day, this man. He followed him, went out and followed him. And he saw that he would follow a mushrik. Every time a mushrik would stray away from his arm, his group, that he would follow him and he would kill him. But this man, he became severely wounded. And then he took his sword and killed himself. And so then this man, he came back and informed the Messenger of Allah and understood why the Prophet said, "Huwa finnar," he's in the hellfire. Why? Because it's haram. Haram for a Muslim to take his own life. Haram. Not allowed. Haram. A major sin. And so we have the saying of the Messenger of Allah when he said, that Allah said, "Badirni abdi. Badirni abdi bi nafsi." That my servant, he rushed, hastened. And he hastened himself and rushed to meet me. Yani by killing himself. فَحَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. So I've made haram upon him Jannah. Haram upon him Jannah. Why? Due to him killing himself. Not allowed. Concerning this man. This man who fought so bravely. In the time of the Messenger of Allah. Messenger of Allah does that not have a virtue? Huh? In the time of the Prophet. Does that have a virtue? That he was amongst them with the Sahaba? But the Prophet said, "Huwa finnar," in the fire. Shows to us clearly that Islam is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah with all of its rulings, with the understanding of the Sahaba, not the understanding of these extremists, those who take texts from the Quran and Sunnah and say that you can now it's justified for us to kill them. Haram, not allowed. Na'am. And so, al-Islam, ayyul ikhwa, what it means to be a Muslim is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with that tawheed. That is the fundamental core of all of the prophets and the messengers. And when you establish this, just this alone, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, when he mentions that he has promised those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, those who worship him alone, without ascribing anything as a partner to him, that he will give them authority and power in the lands, just as he gave it to those who came before. With this, tawheed. Because this is the purpose of life. The purpose of life isn't to fight people or over land or to just go out there and kill people, take over land, or anything that we find, those things that we find the people from the other groups and sects calling to. The purpose of life is to go into the lands and to take over the lands. Na'am, that it is upon the Muslims to call to Tawheed and to spread Tawheed, spread the message of Islam. That is the call, and if the people they submit to this and the people of the earth they accept this, then that, alhamdulillah, that is something which no doubt brings pleasure to the Muslim. And that is something which no doubt brings about peace and brings about tranquility in the lands. That the people go back to the origin of worshipping Allah alone and being one ummah. However, the fundamental call is to worship Allah alone. Whether that is whether that involves the Muslims having strength within the lands and having land that they may call their own and the land of Islam and the land which belongs to the Muslims, or whether that is without them. The fundamental message is to Tawheed. But if we establish that Tawheed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us strength within the lands. And then from the fruits of that is that Allah will open up the lands and give the Muslims strength within the lands. But the purpose itself is not to go out and that we crave for land and take over the lands. No. What good is taking over the lands if a shirk is still committed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That a person, he stands before Allah and says that we conquered such and such land and that we have strength in such and such land. But then they never call to Tawheed. Will that person enter Jannah? The person will not enter Jannah. If he still has shirk with him, or if the people that he called, that they still have shirk with them, he has not saved those people. And if he goes out to the people and says to those Muslims, those youth who want to start practicing Islam, that we must call to the Khilafah, and we must call to the Muslims gaining strength within the lands, and we must rebel against these rulers, these sinful Muslim rulers. But even if this was to be achieved, But those Muslims there still have shirk with them. And they haven't rectified the aqeedah. Will they enter Jannah? They will not enter Jannah. So long as they die upon that shirk. And so, ayyul ikhwa, the message of Islam is clear. The shahada that the Muslim he takes, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, to follow the Quran and the sunnah with the fahm of the salaf of this ummah. To follow the Quran and sunnah with the understanding of the sahaba, in that lies all success. وفق الله جميع من يحب ويرضى صلى الله عليه وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين.